The Call of Science, Chapter 12. Though man is an animal, he is yet distinguished from other animals by virtue of certain traits. The distinction could be drawn by saying that whereas animal existence is dominated by the vital principle, human existence is chiefly mental. Man, of course, has both life and mind. Yet of these, it is mind that predominates. If an animal moves, it runs fast. If it makes a noise, that too it does very loudly. Such movement and such noise manifest the vital and not the mental. Animals jump, run about, or bark. All these are vital processes. It matters but little if an animal suffers or is injured through these activities. Children also throw stones while playing, and though they aim at none, they may yet hit another to cause him pain and injury. But in children, such activity is not totally free from the mental. Thought and desire, hope and despair are the mental powers that work in man. Fear and courage, love and attachment are also mental functions in man. Animals belong to the vital and men to the mental plane. Science, however, is teaching man to rise above the mental to the level of vijnana. This means that what we call psychology or the science of mind would be rendered entirely useless. Science from the very beginning is indifferent towards psychology. The atom bomb dropping from above does not consider whether the men below are guilty or innocent. The distinction between good and evil is obliterated. Like a river in spate, it sweeps away along with it men, animals, and logs of wood without stopping to brood over their differences. Science is thus above the mental level. The universe has been created out of atomic energy and would disintegrate if atoms are separated from each other. The universe originates from and again dissolves back into this atomic energy. It is this power that has now come within the reach of human hands. Man has been able to send up satellites into space. This means that we cannot anymore remain satisfied with international problems. We must have to grapple with inter-global issues. How can this be possible so long as man confines himself to the mental plane? Let us suppose that I love one and hate another, but that all three of us are being swept away by a river in spate. We do not know how to swim. All three of us would be drowned. Our loves and hatreds would not be able to help us in such a situation. A similar situation has now come into being now that atomic power is in human hands. Man has raised himself to the level of God. Like God, man also can create and destroy. He has turned into a small god. God, however, is not moved by mind. He is above the mental plane. He is above attachments and jealousies. But if man continues, even after he has acquired the status of God, to be dominated by the mental, the consequences would indeed be ruinous. Just imagine what would have happened if God, like man, were actuated by the mental forces. What would have happened if likewise the mind of an ass worked within man? Man being mental and an ass being primarily vital, the consequence would have been complete disharmony. Human emotions are today capable of yielding dangerous consequences. If we lived in olden days, we could settle our issues by fighting duels. But today, Bulganin and Eisenhower, if they turn enemies, would not take to wrestling. They would take to atomic weapons. But with what consequences? Man can, therefore, utilize the power that has come within his reach only if he gets rid of mental attachments and jealousies. The human problem today, therefore, is to render the traditional psychologies ineffective. It is no use adding only a new chapter to the old scriptures and textbooks. They deserve only to be burnt to ashes. The plan of Vijnana or science is above that of mind. Science is trying to force us to ascend to that higher level. The Upanishads knew of the plane of Vijnana as being higher than the vital and the mental planes. But it was then a matter of individual realization. It was enough if a few individuals reached that plane through personal effort, while the rest lagged behind. There was no pressure of the circumstances that all should have to rise to that level of Vijnana. Today, however, science makes it imperative for us to go beyond the mental. This could be done only by spiritual effort. Science, therefore, is compelling us to undertake spiritual reflection. The sages of the past undertook individual spiritual effort, sadhana. Science demands that we should take to a collective form of the same spiritual effort, sadhana. For only then, science would benefit mankind. Otherwise, we would go to ruins. The sages of the past gave up the sense of the I and the mind. The Vedanta taught that nothing, neither this house, nor this field, nor even this body, was mine. Likewise, when we rise to the level of Vijnana, we should say that this house, this property, this field, all these are ours. This is unavoidable in the age of science. Two paths are open to us. Either to take to collective spiritual effort, sadhana, or to perish. Either usher in the kingdom of heaven upon earth through spiritual effort, or be destroyed along with the world. Supramental level is a metaphysical expression. But now, we must have to take a more practical view of it and to discover its applications in our everyday life. In the laboratories of the teacher and the pupil, as also in the lives of peasants and tradesmen, of the ruler and the ruled. Judged from this new point of view, all our age-old textbooks and literary works betray their inadequacy. No such literature would do now. They belong to the lower level. New literature has to be created. The old religions also would not work. To please God by burning lamps and incense before an image would not do. The entire humanity has to become a living image of God. We are to worship this image. We should have to inquire, for example, if mankind has enough food for it. This would indeed be a drama of worshipping humanity as our God. At first, it would be like stage acting, but in the course of time, we would experience its reality. We have initiated the drama of Gramdan. People ask if the villagers of Gramdan units have given up all attachments. Are they practicing such selflessness that they look upon all the children of the village with the same affection with which they treat their own children? How can all this happen in a day? I reply in this way. They have brought about Gram Dan, which means that they have staged a drama. Science deems this drama essential for this age. Science, again, will turn this stage acting into reality. Dharwar, 31st of January, 1958.